Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's a gorilla of destiny, a bullet club OG, continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island. With your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
All right. Guys, yo, welcome back to Tama's Island Podcast this week. We are on fire, man. I know you guys have a lot of questions, but first, let me introduce you guys to my co-host, the Culture Vulture, Sean. Hey, what's up, Ross Merman? What's cracking, man?
Whew, not much, man. I just got done covering another exciting night of New Japan action, and so I'm well rested and ready to go. How are you doing, Tama?
I'm feeling great. I'm on fire. I feel like there's this fire in my belly right now. I'm ready to explode. A lot of things, exciting things happening, especially this past weekend. But guys, before we move forward on that, let me introduce you to our guest. Here today, another guest, co-host we brought in from Tama's Island, Morgan. What's up? Welcome back, man.
Thank you for having me, man. I am super excited. This is a big, big weekend.
Yep. Yes, indeed, Morgan.
Ross, man, I'm going to give it to you. You go ahead and facilitate this. Throw us in. I'll chime in, throw in my shit talking whenever I can. you talk to me, dog.
I was going to say, if you're going to throw in some shit talking, then shit talking might be the place to start. Because look, it's a loaded wrestling week. We are headed towards what feels like a WrestleMania weekend with SummerSlam and everything coming up. But last weekend in Los Angeles, in the shadow of the Olympic torch at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, a bitter reunion happened. Should we say, the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, fresh off winning the Tag Team Turbulence tournament over on New Japan Strong. They defeated former AEW champion and former IWGP United States champion John Moxley and former IWGP heavyweight champion Yuji Nagata in a tag team match. A pretty dominant display from the Good Brothers, considering the two guys they were up against. But then after the match, they had a little trouble with the mic. They weren't quite able to get out all of the words they wanted to. And before anything could help them, two folks, one of whom is with us today, from their past, showed up. The Gorillas of Destiny, the Good Brothers, face-to-face in a New Japan ring for the first time since the Good Brothers have been released from WWE. And for the first time since what has been... I gotta believe it's nearly almost a year now of you and Carl Anderson going back and forth, whether it be on podcasts, whether it be on Twitter, just kind of going back and forth over who is responsible for Bullet Club, who is the person that put Bullet Club on the map. And now y'all came face to face. You did not come to blows, so there is still that. But how did it feel, Tama, being in the ring across from Anderson and Gallows, finally being within striking distance of the Good Brothers?
Look, Ross, all this back and forth with Carl Anderson. The last thing he said to me was on Twitter. If you guys follow my Twitter at Tom_Tonga, he said that he would like to slap me one good time. Well, I showed up on Saturday to give him that chance. I was happy to give him that open shot.
I was going to say, your cheek was right out there.
I gave it to him. I turned my face and I gave him a wide open spot right here to give it to me. Nothing. See, man, them Twitter fingers, man, they get real they get real flitchy, and we know when you get on that. But when you see somebody face to face, that boy, you know, that's what happens when you get on Twitter, man. It's easier to use that finger. Yep. But when you're up face to face, ain't nobody got not they ain't no beef behind that. There's no meat in those bones, like you would say, Ross. There's no meat behind those bones. There's no guts or nothing, man. And that's what happened to Carl Anderson. Carl, come on, Carl. What happened, man? What happened to 2012 Carl? The one that went G112. What, finalist?
He was the first foreigner to make it to the finals since Rick Rude in 1992. I mean, he wasn't.
So he's not really the first. He's a second, and then he lost. So that was a second. So I mean, he didn't really do shit in 2012. That was the highlight of his career. But that's okay though, because that's all right. That's what happens, man. When you ain't got it, when you ain't got the juice, man. When you ain't got the juice, you're not it, man. Well, I showed up. Of course, you punked out, man. You went soft, Carl. You went soft. You went to New York and came back soft, bro. Softer than the outside. My bad, Russ. I popped off a little bit, man. Talk to me, Ross. Ashley, talk to me. Come on. Hey, Morgan, don't sit back there relaxing shit, man. Talk to me, though.
Honestly, man, I remember when we sat down all together, all of us, and we all watched you and Carl talk back at the beginning of, I guess, what feels like a lifetime ago, right?
Yeah, it would have been. I want to say it would have been like May or June of like 2020. It's been, like I said, about a year, maybe over a year.
And the realness there, the brotherhood, the camaraderie, there's just nothing there anymore. It's all there's nothing.
Yeah.
The best thing that I will say was to come out of this was the memes that I saw of you walking in the ring and giving him a shot, and then just nothing. And that's what happens
when they hang out with all them little elite girlfriends, man. That's what happens, bro. No, Lenny O'Schmega, the young, what? Who, nobody gives a damn because them boys can't fight. You know those boys can't fight. You know that you're hanging out with a bunch of sissies, man. Ooh. That's what happened. That it rubbed off on you, Carl. You know, and Big Festus rubbed off on you too. Mm-hmm. Oh, big dum dum over there. Hey, Carl, man, I told you, dude, you made the wrong move. You and your big dum dum keep making the wrong moves, man. You sold out, all right? Then you resold out, and then now look at where you're at right here. You keep selling. That's Carl the sellout. That's what I like. I like that. Carl the sellout. Anderson, you can take that machine gun out, because that's, you know, that used to mean like you're hard. Mm-hmm. You're not, bro. You're soft. So let's put that sellout in there, man. Carl the sellout Anderson. Come on, bro. You hanging out all these bunch of sissies, bro. Them boys can't fight. All they got is flips, bro. All they got is flips. Them boys can't fight. What do they call them? The flip monkeys?
Nah. Oh my gosh. I think the original term was spot monkey.
These are flip monkeys.
Flip monkeys. Yeah. Okay.
You can tell them Thomas Hunger said that, man. Little soft ass sissies, man. Carl, you too. Sell out Anderson. Come on. Talk to me. Talk to me, Ross. Oof. I mean, we showed up, didn't we?
Yeah.
We showed up.
This is, I think, a big clarifying moment for Bullet Club, because you have had the elite running around pretending like they are still members, which until this whole Forbidden Door stuff came down, even they weren't technically calling themselves members of Bullet Club. They were like, oh yeah, no, we left in, what was it, checking Wikipedia, October of 2018, we're not Bullet Club anymore. And then all of a sudden, the Good Brothers show up, and they start putting Bullet Club's name in their mouth a lot. And now
wearing Bullet Club merch. What show was it? Was that an AEW
Impact.
Or
no? Impact. It was. I think their first Impact show back. They were wearing the Bullet Club merch, despite the fact that they had been very clear that they weren't back. And so it does kind of feel like this is finally Bullet Club's time to address who the real Bullet Club is. And if we're going by resurgence on Saturday night, there's one team that stood tall in the ring, and there's another team that fled to the back and decided they didn't want any of that smoke. And that's what Anderson and Gallows did. It's very much going to be It feels like a game of cat and mouse already. And it was a big moment in what was a very, very big show. And especially with the New Japan Strong tour coming up, you've got Autumn Attack, you've got the Battle in the Valley. There's a number of shows coming up where it's entirely possible that G.O.D. and the Good Brothers could collide. It could be on AEW. It could be on Impact. There is no... When something happens in one company now, it happens in all of the companies. And so you're starting to feel these ripples come out now that there's actually this New Japan versus AEW showdown.
I was about to say, that ripple effect is huge. But Tama, do you want those belts or do you just want to give an ass kicking?
Yo, what? That don't mean shit if I grab those Impact belts. I'd rather steal my ass whooping. Ass whooping will be more worth than those dumbass belts. They ain't worth nothing. I'll chuck those thing at the wall like I did the ROH tag belts. Come at me, bro.
I will say it would be good salt in the wound. Like you don't need to like the belts, but if you take it from them, it's a good it's a little lemon in that cut.
Slap them over the face with it. That's what I like to do with those belts. Take them and there slap you them. You know, soft ass sellout face, Anderson.
Oof. It definitely is going to be an interesting fall. But I hate to move off the topic so swiftly, but y'all weren't the only story from Resurgence. Alongside two fantastic main events that we'll talk about, another big return happened at Resurgence. A surprise return. I completely shocked that this happened. Currently claiming to be the real world IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Will Ospreay showed up in Los Angeles, said he's medically cleared to compete, showed off that he never gave back the title belt that he took home with him when he left for medical leave, and so he's still got a title belt in his grasp. Then he said he's going to be on the new... He's going to skip the G1. B, he's going to go on the New Japan Strong Tour and defend the belt as the real world champion. And it sounds like he doesn't want to go back to Japan until New Japan itself recognizes Shingo Takagi as an interim champion. And then he left to go blow off some fireworks inside the Coliseum. I'm going to throw to Morgan first. What'd you think of this surprise return from Ospreay and the kind of hitch that he threw in New Japan's giddy up?
That was we had Islanders at the event, and the reaction was insane. But I was blown away. I was like, wait, what? Then tweeting about the his Rev Pro title being he's here, he can do the Rev Pro thing. I was lost. I'm still kind of at a loss for words because you're leaving your boys, you're leaving the United Empire behind in Japan, presumably, to do your own thing. But do you care about your boys?
Exactly. Morgan,
you just put out a faction. Where is everybody? What is going on? What are you
I don't
doing?
See United on that
yourself? No. I do not see nothing, and I've got questions. I don't got answers, and I know Ross, you're the journalist. Tommy, yep. you're the dude who
who talk shit.
You do a lot of the hitting. I don't know, man. I got more questions than answers, but I will say this. I am confused. Shingo hasn't said anything in the interim, right?
Shingo's been a little busy. He was pulled from the last couple New Japan Summer Struggle Tour events because him and Bushi both presented with fevers. They are currently under medical watch. So no, Shingo has not responded. And really, New Japan itself has not responded to Will Ospreay yet.
Why would they? Why should Shingo respond? I was like, this dumbass. I said, you keep saying that other dude is a fake champion, right? And yep. you're supposed to be the same. You're medically cleared. Come the fuck back and take your belt then, bitch. Stop talking that shit, leaving your boys to do all the heavy work out there, man. You don't sound very united to me, man. No. You don't sound, nah, little bitch ass. Get your ass back to Japan and come bring that shit, man. Don't
you,
call
you
it
wanna,
that.
You want a draw? You want to make the money? Make the, get the unification match. Get it going, If you want, you want the money, you want to be the headliner, the box office star, the big boy, put on the big boy pants.
Yep.
Oh, right. No, exactly it, what you
It's a very good point. And because we've compared Ospreay's current run a lot to Conor McGregor, and this feels like the most Conor thing he's done so far, where he just kind of shows up and is like in the way that Conor was always like, Dana White can't control me. Now Ospreay's being like, New Japan can't control me. Rev Pro can't control me. B's in NXT UK, she can't control me. I am a man. He's a raging wildfire. He's a tornado on the loose. And now he is here in the States ready to start. I mean, he was already run off by TJP, Clark Connors, and Carl Fredericks. So those seem to be three people who have an eye on Ospreay. But when you've got Takagi over in Japan fighting guys like Okada, fighting guys like he's scheduled to face Ibushi at some point, like it definitely feels like Shingo has a slightly harder route of defenses. Like, no disrespect to Connors, to TJP, or to Fredericks, but they're not Okada. They are a couple of them just graduated as young lions, so they're very much growing into themselves. But it feels like he's kind of taken on some. He's kind of what I don't know what the term is when a boxer takes on a bunch of guys that he knows he can beat just to kind of pad that defense record. But like it's kind of got that rope-a-dope vibe. I don't know, what were you gonna say, Morgan?
Thomas Island listeners, as guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before we go out, and then we get into our 20s and our 30s and we start to notice those first signs of hair loss. Oh, it definitely starts to feel like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy ever really wants to go bald, but thankfully, there's now an easy way to keep your hair with Keeps. Did you know that 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The only way to really prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. And Keeps makes it very easy. You don't have to go to your doctor's office for hair loss prescriptions. Now, all you have to do is visit a doctor online, get your hair loss medication delivered right to your home, and start now. That's right, they make it easy, and they deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to hanging out in the pharmacy checkout lines and all those awkward doctor visits. And also, they have the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you've never tried them for this price. Again, you have to start while you still have hair left to save, and treatments can typically take between 4 to 6 months, so it's important to act fast. And if you want that first month free, go to keeps.com/Tama. That's right, keeps.com/Tama for your first month free. Head on over to keeps.com and keep the hair you have while you still have it.
The only thing that he mentioned that was, you know, he was like, I you can leave the keys under the mat and I'll come and find them. And I was like, all right, cool. So you're going to go on other people's shows to fine. I'm fine with it. If New Japan gets the attention, I'm all for it. I'm all for people making money. I'm all for everyone making money. As we said a long time ago, if everybody makes money and everyone makes good money, great. It's good for everybody. But if you are going to blow smoke a certain way, that's different, man.
Well, and let's kind of address this, because while yes, he has kind of left the United Empire behind, the United Empire is in a weird predicament. I don't know what's going on with Jeff Cobb at the moment. I know he did show up at the Olympics very briefly. He might be on something of a break, but Great O'Khan is on a pretty decent streak right now. He's been getting some singles wins. He's been getting some showcases. So I don't know if Will needs to necessarily worry about the United Empire as much.
Oh, you need to worry, Will. You definitely need to worry. You just started yesterday. You just built your empire yesterday, and it's already cracking. Look at you. Came and hold up your own. You wanted to be this boss. You wanted to go against Okada. You wanted to establish yourself. Look at you. Made it to the top of the mountain. You can't even figure out how to stay up there. Your whole mountain is crumbling under you, and you want to ask for keys to be put under the mat. When did you haven't earned shit, man? You, oh gosh, you were barely a champ for a night. All right. Don't give me this shit about you. You're medically whatever. Hey, you're cleared now, right? Mm-hmm. Come prove your worth, man. We got the G1, the most. This is the tournament. This is it. This is the one that you haven't won. You haven't won. You haven't done shit.
till you prove it in the G1. I don't care what you've done before that. All right. Any of these pay-per-views and all that shit means nothing. You come to the G1 and you run this. You run this gauntlet. All right. Shit. That's just in my eyes right now, Jeff Cobb is actually ahead of you and should be rightfully the leader. Veteran, big man, can bring the heat, powerhouse.
Olympian.
I mean, he's legit. He's legit. You, my friend, ain't legit. Yo, Gucci, Versace sunglasses with a chain. Yo, you ain't it, bro. You ain't it. You're a flip guy too, man. You flip monkey.
Oh, that's it.
You're a flip monkey too.
Let's not forget that Jeff Cobb has beaten Will Ospreay.
It's a good point. Ooh. It's a good, like, there are, I'm, and this is
for
why
a title I, for two titles.
Yep. It's very true. Like, if it does kind of feel like if Ospreay, because like I said, Okan is doing very well right now. I don't know what's going on with Cobb, but he's not floundering without Ospreay, clearly. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Will Ospreay gets this big head on his shoulders, does this tour of America, where, let's face it, he has enough American fans that, like, they will blow smoke up his ass and they will make him believe that, like, yeah, absolutely, man, you're doing that run. You're doing it. You're making it while Shingo Takagi's doing his run and while everyone in Japan is going. And I wouldn't be surprised by the time Will Ospreay gets back to Japan, the United Empire's like, we don't need this guy anymore. He's just a liability.
And here's what everybody misses here in America. What they don't understand. When you're not in Japan wrestling, you are out of mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can do all that shit here in America, but Japan won't know jack shit about it. All right. They'll forget you. And you're like this. If you're not there running the gauntlet, nobody remembers you. All right. You can come in, but you've lost your position. You can run here in America, and that's cool. But notice that New Japan is the front runner. That's the platform that you need to keep ahead of any other platform. You don't run over there to England and run your against whoever that other dude is. I don't give a damn. All right. You're not in Japan proving that's your ship. All right. Because you can run around telling everybody that I'm the real champion. But if you ain't over there proving it, you are not it, my man. But,
and Tama brings up a very good point. If Ospreay decides to take that belt to Impact, decides to take that belt to AEW, MLW, none of those promotions have distribution deals in Japan. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's a way to watch it with a VPN, but, like, it's not necessarily going to put him in front of people. I think his showing up at Resurgence might get some cover in Tokyo Sports or in one of the weekly magazines, but I don't see it becoming this big deal in Japan as he's trying to make it in North America. That's where I'm kind of at with the Ospreay gone rogue champion deal right now, because it's even in his entrance video is like, I'm the second IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Everyone else after me is a false champion, a paper champion. And so it's controversial. And if Eric Bischoff ever said anything, it's that controversy does create cash. I mean, we'll see. Like I said, it's not just you and the Good Brothers where when something happens, it ripples out. When Ospreay shows up in Japan, in Los Angeles, it means something for AEW. It means something for Impact. It means something. Hell, it could mean something for like GCW or one of the indie promotions that's going to be running. Like it really, that door is wide the hell open.
Bob, you need to make the move, my friend. You don't need this little immature man running around telling everybody that he's the boss of your empire, man. Cobb, you the veteran. You the powerhouse. You beating Ospreay. Make the move, man. I say this is Cobb empire. I'm gonna go with that.
Oh, and let's be real. Cobb has been teaming with Great Okan more than Ospreay ever was. They had that World Tag League run. I would believe that if Okan is in anyone's under anyone's wing, it's Cobb's more than Ospreay's. So, like, dude, make that move, dude. Make it, because it definitely feels like stuff is shaking up in Japan. Like if Cobb were to take over, the United Empire, it would just be one of many different shakeups that have been happening right now. Because as if you've been keeping up with the New Japan Super Junior Tag Tournament, Sho and Yo are officially no mo. I'm sorry. Let me try that again. Sho and Yo are officially Nomo. The Pongi 3K has been disbanded. They have been they forfeited their last match against Dick Togo and Gato in the Super Junior Tag Tournament. Technically, a double forfeit as Gato and Dick Togo weren't there. So, but this is big. I mean, especially considering that these are two guys who debuted for the Super Junior Tag Tournament. They have won it more than most people. They are a legendary tag team in the junior heavyweight division already. And now, yeah, they're done. Sho has essentially said to Yo, I don't need you anymore. I maybe never needed you in the first place. And it's Roppongi 3K is done. And you, Tama, even last week were saying that Sho needs to make that move, that Sho needs to break out on his own. What do you think of
damn time, man? It's been a year too long. Sho, it's been a year too long. You should have made that while your partner was hurt. You should have cut him. It was already dead weight, man. It was dead weight a long time ago, and you needed to go on your own. It's time to prove why you are the better of the two, all right, of the half. You need to go on your own route. Now, are you guys seeing everybody throwing bids out for him right now? All over on social media. Yeah. Ain't that some shit? Mm-hmm. Look at these hungry-ass vultures, man. Let the man choose for himself. I see a Tai Chi, old punk-ass, little soft-ass tofu boy taking a bid for him and Des be talking shit. I see I even saw Ospreay. Ospreay, shut the hell up. You're not even over there in Japan. You trying to call shots, bitch. Why don't you worry about your fake belt back that you got with you in America? You trying to recruit people when he ain't even in Japan. He don't want. Shut the hell up. That don't make no motherfucking sense. Hey, him and Hinata, what the hell Hinata been? I see them chiming up talking about recruiting him, and your two motherfuckers ain't even in Japan right now. Who you gonna send, Cobb? Shit. Cobb ain't y'all bitches. Y'all Cobb's bitches.
I was gonna say, if they send Cobb to recruit Sho, that's over. It's Cobb's faction.
Cobb's faction.
Yeah. But it's been a big boost for the junior tag division because let's be real, Sho and Yo were such a dominant tag team that there was never going to be any room for a junior tag team to get that kind of following that they had. And now that they're gone, Taguchi and Wado already feel like bigger deals. Robbie Eagles as the junior champ is starting to really set in with some people. And so as heartbreaking as it is for fans of Roppongi 3K, it feels like it's the best thing that's happened to the junior division in about a year. I don't know. Morgan, what do you kind of think of the prospects of everyone kind of elevating now that Sho and Yo have disbanded?
I love it. So the junior division, obviously, a lot of flippy shit, as Tama likes to say, it needs a fresh coat of paint. I'm gonna get heat here, and I know I will. I am a Robbie Eagles fan. I'm gonna get heat.
Okay,
that's fine.
Who invited Morgan on this damn show? Who? Hey,
that's on me.
Ross, damn it, that's a minus point. I'm gonna take a point from you right now, Ross. No, Morgan, I'll take five points from you. I can't believe you said that dumb shit. Do you know the history of Robbie Schmeagles?
I do. What I was going to say is, you know, we even had a backstage segment last night where I think, don't shoot the messenger, but I'll get into that in a second. What I was going to say is, honestly, the junior division needed a shakeup anyway. Yep. We're talking about United Empire. Honestly, United Empires need the junior tag or junior a junior person anyway.
Yeah,
the bid there was kind of made sense to me, kind of was fine, but like they don't have anybody there, as we clearly see that there is nobody there. So I don't know. It feels like there needs to be kind of an injection of maybe some new guys to step up, to step up to just maybe even Robbie. I mean, I love watching watching the usual guys run around, but I would like to see something new. I want to see something different. I want to see something, and this was definitely different. This was definitely I was looking at my computer screen. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Wait, what?
Yep.
Did that really happen? And I mean, that definitely got the junior division talking about again, which we, you know, Robbie winning the title, got the junior division talking about. That's something. That's more than been going on. Like,
And to jump on your point that you're making about how they need that fresh blood, even the junior tag champs, your boys ELP and Ishimori, after their loss to Suzuki-gun in the Super Junior Finals, said, "Look, we're not worried about it. This loss is just a loss. We're going to defend these belts against Suzuki-gun, and once we've defended them, they're going to come to. They've already been announced that they're going to be in Texas for the Strong Tour, and so they said they're going to defend the junior belts in Texas. They told Twitter to send them all of the names of the best junior tag teams in North America because they want to face someone new. And so it does feel like, and especially this was a division that got really hurt by the inability to bring in new people in special appearances by the pandemic. And so it does feel like now the junior division is starting to coalesce, to gel a little bit more. And I think that that injection of fresh blood on the New Japan Strong Tour is going to be going to be really great. I mean, between the developments that happened in Japan with Sho and Yo and the developments that happened in North America with all of the announcements for the Strong Tour and everything that happened to Resurgence, it's going to be a big fall for the North American brand of New Japan Pro Wrestling. It really does feel like the New Japan of America side has just that much more momentum right now. And it's kind of what I think North American fans have wanted. Because like that's what made the Madison Square Garden show feel so big. That's what made Resurgence feel so big, is because it felt like something that was a part of the continuity of Japan. Like a lot of the North American shows have felt like special attractions where it's like, hey, your favorite guys from Japan have come over, but it doesn't always necessarily gel into what's going on in Japan, whereas now it feels like both sides of the Pacific are moving in the same direction, and it's exciting as hell. Like there's a lot of gas in the tank right now,
especially with your new IWGP United States Champion. I thought it was a great match. I thought that was a really fantastic way to end the card, and honestly, it was. It's the ace being the ace, right?
Well, and that's how else do you legitimize, how better to legitimize the United States title, especially since it spent so much time in Mox's suitcase over the course of the pandemic, that like to now have it on the ace, and Hiroshi Tanahashi has said he's going to be coming to North America to defend it regularly. And that is, I think that's the kind of stuff that people really get excited about. And now also Tanahashi joins Jay White as the second quadruple crown champion in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's got the Never Open Weight. He's had the IHC. He's had the World. And now he has the United States Championship. Just real, real exciting. John Moxley was also kind of hanging out during the match with Lance Archer and Hiroshi Tanahashi. After the match, Archer invited Tanahashi to AEW at some point to for a rematch, and so it does feel like Tanahashi is gonna be maybe if he's not at All Out, maybe on TNT or on Rampage. It's very, very exciting, the possibility of Hiroshi Tanahashi being in North America. It's good. This is that good shit, man. This is good ass wrestling. Good shit. It really is.
When everyone eats, right? Yep. When everyone eats.
And that's the thing. Everyone is eating right now, because while New Japan had a big weekend, AEW is set to have a big weekend in Chicago. WWE is set to have a big weekend in Las Vegas. And so it does feel like even if WWE isn't your thing, everyone's eating. Everyone is selling out. Everyone's happy to be back. But let's talk about these big shows that are coming up this weekend, because it's looking like if you're going to the United Center for AEW Rampage, wear a mask. The mask mandate has been put back in place for Chicago starting Friday. So if you're going to the United Center on Friday, wear a mask. But also, if you're going to the United Center on Friday, we are now at the point where if AEW hasn't let up on the gas with all of the CM Punk speculation, it means that he's probably going to be there. I mean, we really are at the point where if they haven't put the kibosh on any of these rumors, they're playing with fire. I'm going to throw it to you, Morgan, first. What do you think of the prospect of CM Punk possibly returning this Friday?
I'm going to have a controversial take on this. Honestly, what has CM Punk shown me in the past X years he's been gone? there's been a lot of talk, and I used to be the biggest CM Punk fan, the biggest, but nothing has shown anything. Some movies, a couple run-ins on the indies, nothing. Great. Cool. You're coming back. I was more excited to see Christian Cage win the Impact World Championship on Rampage than I am to hear CM Punk chant. I can hear CM Punk chant in my sleep, and I get it. Nostalgia. Yeah. I love it. We're great. That's fine. But I want to see what, if any, this guy's going to step back in the ring with. Because if he, you know, he lost his fights. Well, technically, he technically won with scrap, right? I guess. Sure. But he's been gone. He was on WWE. He was on Fox for a little bit. You know, he was doing his thing. I get it. But I am not super... I'm more excited at the prospect of Bryan Danielson.
Okay.
And I am CM Punk. And that's
because we haven't seen Bryan Danielson get worked. That's why I'm with you, Morgan. I'm with you. The man has lost legitimacy. That's in these empty years. All right. He went somewhere else to another ship and he got exposed. All right. That shit happened in New Japan, right? To one of our guys. You went to another ship and you got exposed. You gotta have some kind of legitimacy, yo. You can't like, you know, back in the day when in wrestling, when you were a champ, like you better hold yourself out at the bar. You better hold yourself in the street, or else, like, we gotta give it to somebody who can. And my man, he ain't showing. I'm with you, Morgan. I 100%. I was a fan.
He was a mic and went home.
Yeah. Look, I was a fan of him when he had the mic, right? He can run his mouth. That's 100. He knows. But
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, his body wasn't telling me the same thing his mouth was telling me. So, like, okay. All right, and I'm okay, cool. But he does this deal. But when you leave this platform and go to another platform and you get your ass, I mean, like, you got your ass kicked twice, bro. Bad. I mean, to a point where, like, you, well,
yeah.
What am I looking for you to come back? So, now Brock, all right, Bobby. These guys, they're champs because they're fucking champs.
Even Hager.
No matter where you put them in this kind of genre, whether it doesn't matter if wrestling and UFC, it's entertainment altogether. But in this wrestling business, you better hold yourself up wherever you go. And he didn't hold himself up where he went. It, like, that's just me and my perspective. He didn't represent. And why should I care when he come back?
You said it more eloquently than I did. And again, I'm someone who, from ECW, from ROH, all the way back, even when he was, you know, TNA, Raven Flock 2.0, whatever. Like, I was a CM Punk fan. I'd love for him to show up, but the gas, is it still in the tank? I don't know. And I don't really have the time to figure that out.
Okay, we got some hot takes on CM Punk today. I just to play, you know, the devil's advocate here, I will buffer this with saying they didn't even announce him. They announced the idea that he might be at the United Center, and they sold out. So there is clearly still, and I'm not saying that he's going to remain that kind of a draw, but there is still clearly something that is drawing people to CM Punk right now, and for this moment. So that is one thing. The other thing is, I think I am with you. I'm a huge CM Punk fan. I do think he got exposed in the UFC. I think he would be better off in Hollywood because I think he's got that artistic temperament mm-hmm. that would work there. But I also am a CM Punk fan who, and I am in the rare position of, I was in the courtroom for his trial. I covered I didn't cover the opening day, but I covered every day after that. And I don't want his wrestling career to end with him in tears on the stand about how much WWE took from him. And that is the one thing that I think that will be a nice little bow tie. Again, I don't know if he's going to be able to maintain the drawing power of a Daniel Bryan. Even I think Ruby Soho is a bigger grab for AEW than CM Punk right now, just because of how much she can do in the ring and how much she offers outside of the ring. But he is a big name. He is a big star. And it's a win for AEW. It's the kind of thing that makes them look like legitimate competition. Even if CM Punk comes in, does a year of goodbyes and then just leaves, it will still be he ended his story in AEW and they're going to be able to bank themselves on that for a while.
As long as he doesn't get on that mic and say he can kick somebody's ass, I'm cool with that. You know, he can be funny, he can be witty, all right? But if you tell me that you can pick somebody's ass, I'll be like, nah, I've already seen you fight, you can't do that. So, hey, get the mic. That if that's what's selling out the arena, I see it here on the Twitch chat. People's like, he's good on the mic. The pipe bomb. Is that okay? All right. But that's just one aspect of it. You know, that's cool.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And you know what? Great. But Thomas said it best, right? You got exposed. Mm-hmm. It definitely hurts, and it hurts both ways, right? It hurts because as a fan, I definitely wanted to see him win his UFC fight. I wanted it badly. I wanted it so badly. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen.
Could it be, too, that like people, just because he went against WWE, you know, this whole, I want to say a movement, or this whole AEW is against WWE, that they're just like, anybody that's against them, yo, let's ride. Mm-hmm. That could be that, too, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, AEW fan, and I don't feel the need to, you know, I don't necessarily think it's everyone needs to, you know, grab this guy, grab that guy, grab, you know, there was a rumor a while ago that they had signed Brock, right? For like a couple of hot minutes that I would have hated that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have to, it's not a secret that there are people who are this end of the spectrum or this end of the spectrum, right? So mm-hmm. it's about me in the middle and being able to enjoy wrestling as a whole. My whole perspective of it is, I watched him get beat, I watched him go away, and if you want to put up and you want to show me something, cool. If you can't,
since we are talking so much about his UFC loss, I do want to bring in an interesting point that they're bringing in CM Punk on Friday. Likely, again. It's not confirmed, but at this point, if they don't have him, they're idiots. But if they're bringing in CM Punk at the same time they're bringing in Dan Lambert of American Top Team, Dan Lambert has been promising to bring in some you know, UFC or MMA guys. He's been talking about how bad wrestling is compared to UFC. I don't know. Maybe they will figure out a way to keep these two separate, but it feels like if I'm Dan Lambert, the first thing I do post CM Punk is show up and say, look at how much money you spent on the guy that lost.
Ooh. Like, cold-blooded.
Because with Bryan Danielson, you could bring Bryan Danielson in and have him have a fake MMA career in WWE or in AEW. You could bring in, you know, a lot of people and give them those MMA bona fides. But with Punk, he will always look second to whatever MMA guy they bring in, even if he's the world champion.
Amber, doesn't he have Masvidal in his team?
Yes.
There
he's
you go.
Got,
bring
he's
out.
Got, he's got Masvidal. He's got Nunez. Like, he has ass kickers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
If anybody, you should bring in Masvidal because he's very entertaining. What, you know, hey, you know, what's his two pieces of soda?
Yeah, know? He's literally the title carrying baddest motherfucker on the planet.
That's it, man. Come put that shit on the line at AEW. AEW, I just wrote your script for you right there. Damn, shit. Hey, no, well, actually, Ross did. I just kind of chimed in on the creative.
Hey, it's your platform. But no, you're not wrong, because like they got the Fuck the World Championship. The Brian, I think is who's the FTW champion right now? I believe
Ricky
it's
Starks.
Ricky Starks. Yeah. Then you have Masvidal come in as the baddest motherfucker championship. They can be the not safe for work wrestling league. WWE can keep being PG with their superheroes and their wrestling dolls, and then AEW can be the place where, you know, they drop the F-bomb and Masvidal taps someone out in 2 minutes.
Hey, you turn it into pancreas, man. Let's do it.
Yep. Exactly.
Ross, you had an interesting thing to say about this weekend, man, and I can't get it out of my head before time I get on the air. You want to share that?
I said a lot of stuff before on the pre.
Come on,
I'm gonna need you to jog my memory.
I said to you, because I was looking at the schedule. I was like, why is SummerSlam on Saturday? Oh. Why is NXT TakeOver on Sunday?
Now and I remember what I said. I said I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last NXT TakeOver, because it does. I don't know. It doesn't feel like that brand is a priority anymore.
Happened when you lose, man. And, shit. You had one job.
Well, and there's
one job.
Well, and this is the thing is NXT already pissed off Vince McMahon by losing the ratings war. Now that they are trying to work so hard to rehab the image, what they've decided to do is, all right, here's what we need to do. We need to tape NXT so we can edit it and make sure it's the show we want to put out. And so they've started taping episodes of NXT, which has led to the USA Network saying, excuse me, we never paid for a taped show. We were paying for Monday Night Raw Live, and we were paying for NXT Live. And so they've pissed off the network now, because they're trying to fix the show that pissed off the boss. And so I think eventually they're going to say,
someone's got to give, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because especially now that they've decided they don't need to keep a warehouse of independent talent, they're going to say, what the fuck are we doing here? And so I think the big grand finale is going to be Samoa Joe once again being the NXT champion. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly can finally end their feud. They can tie up all the loose ends on NXT and send everyone off to the various main rosters, or I don't know, maybe this will be a big boost for main event, but I don't feel like NXT is lasting long. NXT UK in about September is going to stop getting money from the British government for the pandemic relief, and so I don't know how long they're going to be around. It's a bad time to be on the yellow brand.
But hey man, it's a good time to be an independent talent.
Yes.
I see Pete 11717 here on the Twitch chat. He said Triple H needs to buy NXT and make it his own. Nah, Pete, damn it. Nah, that ain't it, man. Triple H can't. He lost. But,
Well, it's not just that he lost. If NXT parts from WWE, they are no longer this WWE product that the networks feel safe about, and so they lose all distribution the minute NXT becomes separate. And this is if you go back and find out about Eric Bischoff trying to buy WCW in 2001, the problem, he was all ready to go. He had investors. He was ready for Fusion Media to buy WCW, but Turner Networks canceled the show, and so they didn't have distribution. And the minute you're a wrestling promotion without distribution, that the value tanks immediately, because you don't have cable, you don't have that national presence, you're basically starting from scratch with some really expensive wrestlers. And so I don't see Triple H. I don't see Triple H leaving the family, first of all. And second of all, I don't see him starting a rival promotion, especially when it feels like we're this close to everyone who's above a certain level cashing out. It just doesn't. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure he's sad that Nick Khan has killed his vanity project that NXT was. But his stock portfolio. No, but the earnings they're making by all of these budget cuts. As a shareholder, he's going, this is great. Thank you. Keep cutting. But I got a whole warehouse of guys for you to fire if it gets the
Ross
stock
cold
price
as ice. I like it. I like when Ross takes it real like this, man. Shoot him. Shoot him from the hip, bro.
I'm out of ways to sugarcoat NXT's position.
So this brings up an interesting idea. We were talking about how there are certain divisions that need some possible new talent, Tama, who would you want to see?
Ooh. Ooh, NXT talent.
I know who I would want back.
Hey, this ain't no ROH trying to pick up like NXT leaders. Hey, God, what the heck? Come on, Morgan. Morgan, that's another minus 5 points from you right now. Today you lost 10 points so far, man. Five more points out of the show, man.
I thought I got you back with the CM Punk thing, but all right, man, fine.
No.
I do.
Just because I agree with you don't mean you'll get those points back, man. Nah.
I will say now that we're talking about the ROH tweet, if you go back and look at the quote tweets.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, so about maybe a couple days ago, maybe a day or two ago, ROH put out a tweet. Who do you want to see come through the forbidden door into ROH? And immediately, immediately all of their talent started tweeting, you could use us. We're here. You could use the talent you've got. Like they just did a Night of Champions where the 6-man tag champions weren't on the show. And they're sitting there being like, who doesn't work for us that you want to see like that?
Who's in charge of the social media, man? Who's in charge of that Twitter handle? Get his ass online right now.
I was going to say, whoever was in charge of that Twitter handle isn't anymore. It was brutal. It was.
Can you tell the world how much of a mark you are?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. The forbidden door I'd like to bring into our way. Bitch, you ain't in charge of nobody. Shut the hell up.
Don't try to be cool with your tweet, man. You ain't Tama Tonga. Shut the hell up.
I lost those 5 points, and I'm fine. I'm going to put my foot in my mouth because I knew nothing about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was it was the kind of thing that they then, spammed their Twitter feed, so it got buried under a bunch of promotional tweets for, Quinn McKay, I think. But it definitely got people talking. And it goes back to my point of what was going on, kind of the problem with Impact right now, is Impact's whole deal is, hey, come see guys who don't work for us or who used to work for us but still don't, in the case of Christian Cage.
Impact's slick with it, though, right?
Because I don't know if it's Impact as a whole or Scott D'Amore, but someone there knows their role, and they're like, look, as long as we keep facilitating, as long as we keep literating the frames of the open door, we have to keep coming through here.
It's like a whole bunch of smoke and mirrors just sliding shit.
It's fantastic. Cause this is a company that throughout 2010 to 2020, every other year was, oh, this is going to be Impact's last year. Oh, this is going to be Impact's last year. And now they finally figured out the position they're supposed to be in, where it's like, I could see them lasting for 15 years the way they're running right now. Cause even if the Forbidden Door thing goes away, WWE is going to need a developmental. And so they can just become the WWE. They already
got their tape library.
They've been so smart with it. I have to give my hats off to the way Impact Wrestling has been running this Forbidden Door thing, because they have stepped in it a lot of the ways that ROH has, without anyone being like, hey, what's going on here? Like the talent's happy, the fans are happy. They're playing magic. It's like magic baseball or something. I don't know what they're doing.
Magic social media.
That's exactly. It's whatever they're doing.
Sly movements, man. I get a kick out of it because it's so sly. And I'm like, okay, all right. They're teaching me some things. I'm like, all right, I'm learning some. So I guess that's, you're some kind of value in some way besides entertainment.
Exactly. No, and that's what I'm saying. It's like they have kind of figured out a way to be slick with it. MLW has kind of figured out a way to be slick with it, although I'm still waiting to see the recent taping show up on Vice. And so once that happens, they'll be going. But for right now, they're still kind of a clip show. But it's definitely, and I think the most interesting part of all of this news is that we're about 50 minutes into this show. We have not talked about SummerSlam. We've kind of talked about NXT, but we haven't talked about SummerSlam. We haven't talked about the fact that Ric Flair is in AAA. That Ric Flair and Psycho Clown were on the same show. And so that's how much is going on in wrestling right now. It's a packed time. But let's talk about this. While New Japan was doing Resurgence, Triple A Mania had the 16, 21, depending on which Wikipedia you read, the multiple time world champion Ric Flair is now in AAA. He's likely headed to AEW. He's wrestling with his son-in-law, as we all predicted about even a month ago. Ric Flair is in AEW. But Tama, what did you kind of think of this, the Ric Flair kind of basically saying he's not done? It sounds like he wants to even wrestle.
Jesus, come out of retirement for the 900th time. What I thought of him going out there to triple mania with his son-in-law or whatever it is, boy, what is he?
I think it's future son-in-law. I don't know. They're very clearly family at this point.
Yeah. I think it was cute. I think it was very, that was wholesome. That was, yes. You know, that's going out there. It was cool. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's all I really got to say about it. Cause it's cute. Like a bunny.
That's kind of, I think all there really is to say about it. It's he had a chop battle with Kenny Omega, Conan. Like that's, I think the weirdest part of this. It was Andrade and Ric Flair versus Kenny Omega with Conan in his corner, just like we all predicted. It's been a very, very weird time for that. But yeah, wholesome is, I feel like, the right word for it. It feels like Ric Flair's happy again. He's finally being used. I'm not saying we're going to get Flair versus Muda. I'm just saying it's technically possible one more time. I don't know. Morgan, what do you think of Ric Flair not being done?
I think that, and this goes to something I was saying a while ago, I think if he's going to AEW has done a really good job with this legend big brother system that they've got going with the younger talent, which is like Christian Cage and Jungle Boy, Sting and Darby Allin, Big Show and, sorry, Paul White, and whoever is with Paul White. You know, that if Ric Flair is gonna manage Andrade, even Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose. They've got this great thing going on. Like, I actually really like it. I don't, you know, if you want managers, you want Tully Blanchard's for every Sean Spears, you want to do that with these guys and the gals who like are clearly not being used or respected other places. Sure, I'm fine with it. Do I want to see Ric Flair wrestle again? Please, no. No.
Fair.
It's fine. It was great. But Space Mountain is
closed.
Please.
No, I'm with you. I think Flair has a lot to add in that I call them the AEW dads. Everyone has a dad in AEW, and so I think he will be very good in that kind of role. Maybe, I don't know, maybe one WrestleMania. I kind of want to see Ric Flair in GCW or something like that, but I love
Nick Gage. Versus Nick Gage.
Zack Ryder, I don't care. I'm just, I like
Jeez,
I like
Morgan, straight for the throat, huh?
That's,
you
know, I mean, I don't know.
I want Flair a death match.
I hope CM Punk doesn't debut on Friday just because I want to see what happens if they don't have, like, that's the kind of person I want to see. Because, like, I remember when
you want an ECW crowd.
Yeah, no, and I want ECW Ric Flair. Remember in like the mid 2000s when Ric Flair was like fighting Mick Foley and doing like thumbtack spots and barbed wire? Like I think that was fun. Give him one more run if he wants.
Ross, how old was he then?
It was 15 years ago. He would have been in about his fifties or sixties, and now he's 72.
This death match could be truly a death match.
I don't want to see anyone beat up a senior citizen. Okay, I really don't. But if this is the way that things are going, all right. If you want to do that, sure, go.
That's what I'm saying. It's like Muda was GHG champion. Ricky Morton is still wrestling. Like, people can beat up senior citizens. Like, it's not technically a problem in wrestling. The seal has been broken. Let's go for it. Let's have a geriatric brawl. But it's big news. I'm happy for Ric Flair. And then we got SummerSlam coming up this weekend. We'll just do a quick prediction. Morgan, who do you got? Lashley or Goldberg?
Lashley.
Lashley, yeah.
I hope. If they give Goldberg the title, I will finally call the
Ross, you going against your fellow?
No, I am quite frankly, I am the biggest Goldberg fan you'll ever find, but even I got to go against the tribe on this one. Like, no, don't. This is the most underwhelming Goldberg has ever been. And if they reward that, then they deserve everything coming to them.
I will pull the plug finally.
Here's the other problem. SummerSlam is on a Saturday this year. And like when SummerSlam is on a Sunday, I don't have a lot to do on Sunday nights. But by the principle of the Saturday night, I don't know if they've hooked me for SummerSlam. I don't know. Like, I got the Criterion Channel. I can have a Saturday night at the movies whenever I want to. So they really need that hook. And like Lashley Goldberg isn't doing it. Reigns, Cena isn't doing it right now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Before we get on that Reigns, Cena, I want to talk a little bit about that. But look, I'll give this to Goldberg, man. The man looks great for his age. He's
100%.
But he ain't in shape to go against Lashley. That's not it, man. Mm-hmm. You're throwing a name against, like, look, Goldberg has a status name. That's great. Yep. He's great. But I'm sorry, Goldberg. I got to go with Lashley. Lashley is just... He's a beast, man, and right now he's just too strong. You can't convince me. You can't not right now. You can't convince me that Goldberg will beat Lashley. And if he does, I'm sorry, E, man. I'm gonna cancel the subscription that I don't have with you guys.
Right? Yeah,
you can use my non-existent one. So that's
I was going to say, there's a million free Peacock. It's like they have like a free with, I think they have a free with commercials tier where it's like, I don't even know how much money they're going to lose on it. But no, it doesn't have the pop that I even think I thought it was going to have when they first announced this SummerSlam. Like, even I was excited for both of these main events when they were announced. The idea of the matches are great, but the way they've gotten there just leaves me cold. Same with Cena Reigns. We've seen this feud before. Uh-huh. It was in 2017. Uh-huh. They fought. Roman Reigns was like, "Hey, I'm Roman Reigns," and John Cena was like, "You ain't shit." And then Roman Reigns beat him, and John Cena was like, "All right, you're kind of you. I think you're something now." And now they're back, and Roman Reigns is like, "I'm Roman Reigns," and John Cena's like, "You ain't shit." And I feel like I know where this is going. I feel like I've seen this before. It's a rerun, not in the good way.
We almost got swerved, though. I mean, I was super, you know, your boy, you were on Twitter with him, with Ferg, and we almost got swerved. That would have hooked me.
We did get swerved. We got swerved.
And
we got swerved back, I know.
Yeah, and I mean, since we're talking about Finn, that's another guy where, like, He's another reason why I'm not sure if NXT is lasting so long, because he seems like the kind of guy that they could be using on NXT. They even tried to have him be like the big return to NXT, and it didn't have the same effect. And if he's not involved with NXT, I don't know. I don't know where Finn's at right now. He's not facing Roman. He's not in NXT. He's just kind of hanging out, and it feels like it's a big talent to just have hanging out.
You're right. I agree, man. He's a powerful talent to have, and they need to make better use of him out there on the main roster, man, because the man looks like $1 million. He's a phenomenal wrestler. What is it? Come on, E. You got to do something with your boy there. I mean, he does need a crew to go against that other crew. You know, he kind of stood by himself.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like he either needs reinforcements or something. But what a week in wrestling it's been. Like we said, SummerSlam is Saturday. AEW Rampage is Friday. They'll either have CM Punk or Chicago Will Burn for the second time. It's definitely going to be a big, wild weekend. Morgan, where can people find you on social media if you want them to find you?
Well, this time I actually have social media again. So,
hell yeah.
you could find me at, kicking_myself, which is my podcast. We do some stuff on there as well. Morgan Epstein on Facebook, if you want to find me. I don't really know who would, but yeah, go for it. That's basically it.
Well, hang on. Tell us a little bit about the podcast. Tell us, because you're like 8 episodes in.
Yeah, so it all right. I give you guys a lot of credit. You guys have busted hard on this project in terms of, like, you put so much in here. So it inspired me to go out and do some stuff with. I'm a card gaming person. I'm a comic book guy. I'm a Magic the Gathering player. I So it's called Kicking Myself. It's about bad beat stories. It's to have fun. It's to get drunk, have fun, shoot the shit on the podcast with a couple co-hosts of mine. We drop an episode every Monday.
My kind of party. I like that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good time. You know, we've got 8 episodes out, a couple bonus episodes. We got some big guests coming on. I'm pretty excited. But that Twitter at @kicking_myself is the Twitter handle for the podcast. That is me also tweeting. Without you guys doing this through the pandemic, I wouldn't have stepped up and done what I did. So I can't thank you enough. I have the sleepless nights now of recording and thinking ideas. And now I know what it feels like.
Good on you, man. Congratulations. Cheers. On that. Cheers, best of luck with it. Again, @kicking_myself on Twitter. Find the podcast. Give Morgan a follow. Give him a listen. Tama, where can everyone find you on social media? I know you want them to find you, especially these couple.
Find me. I've been on fire on Twitter at @Tama_Tong. I've been talking my shit all at Carl Anderson, of course, and Carl the Sellout Anderson. And you can find me on Instagram at the Good Bad Guy Tama Tong. Thank you very much, Ross. Where can they find you at, Ross?
I'm at Ross W. Berman IV on Twitter, Ross Berman IV on Instagram, RossBerman.bandcamp for all my music. Just had an album released beginning of the month.
The album is sweet, I have to say. It's really sweet.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm finally playing like a 60-year-old. It's very much an old man rhythm and blues record. I'll be playing at the Conservatory in Chicago on August 27th at 8 p.m. But that's everything.
Guys, Ross, man, thank you very much. Thank you for facilitating this. It's been great. Morgan, thank you for joining us, helping us host this podcast. It's been a fun episode. Everyone on the chat, I'm reading everything. You guys have been fucking great, man. For anyone out there want to join us, support us at patreon.com/Tama's Island, or join us here and subscribe on the Twitch channel under Tama's Island. Guys, thank you very much. We'll see you guys on the happy hour this coming weekend. And you guys enjoy your week. Stay safe out there. Get your damn shots. Wear your damn masks. Let's get back wrestling. Let's move on 100 on this. Again, Ross, thank you. Morgan, thank you very much. You guys enjoy your week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's Tama's Island. Find more great Tama's Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Tama, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Tama's Island, and visit @Tama's Island on Instagram and Twitter.